Hello and welcome to the lineup featured from True Blue LA. I almost did that in the ESPN announcer voice. I don't know why.
Brought to you by
welcome to True Blue LA. We're here. The season is over.
It's over. We're done. Okay, thank you for listening, everybody.
See you next year. Spring training is in. Hey, there's this. They should come up with a catchier name than the games that are after the season. But that's what's here. The Dodgers don't have to play in two or three of them that start on Friday. That's exciting.
That's right. None of their games will be wild by definition. So we. It's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. No consternation. Everyone knows watching the postseason, famously calm.
Me especially. I can't get enough of Dodger playoff baseball.
I was trying to wonder if who's worse. Who is the person who is most affected by games negatively? It's like you or Jerry West.
Yeah,
basically. Obviously different sports, but like just absolutely torn apart.
Me.
Yeah.
But we're going to preview, even though the Dodgers aren't playing in it, they're indirectly affected by it. So we're going to preview the wild card and our last sort of regular episode before we go in a bit of hyperdrive and really churn them out during the playoffs.
Pew, 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 pew. Okay. So we're going to have almost as many episodes as the Dodgers had wins. No, maybe not. Maybe a little bit less, but. It's going to be close.
That means they're winning, and I will take it. We'll have that question from Craig after this.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's kind of a picket fence record, if you will, for the Dodgers. Oh. At least win total, I should say.
Yeah, I'd like to think of it as an homage to my hometown with Highway 111 running through Palm Springs, and they won 111 games. Definitely wasn't worrying about having saved a Wikimedia Commons picture of California Highway 111 4 days ago and then waiting for them to win that 111th game, but they finally did. Imagine being mad at the Dodgers just had they lost four straight to end the season and be they only won 110. What a bunch of dorks.
And you kind of get it. You don't want to end even though there's no real rationale to it.
Sure.
And you know, Oral and Joe were kind of making not excuses, but like at the same time, like they're not playing for anything. And there's, you know, only so much emotion. You could argue that, you know, oh, if they were real professionals, they wouldn't need that edge, but whatever, they're humans. And they won 111 games, and they still looked fine outside of, like, three or so games. So
111 games, put that in perspective. Obviously, before 1961, it was 154 game schedule. And then if you go way, way back, it was fewer, but like only four teams or only four other teams have won 111 games ever in Major League Baseball. So like, that's pretty wild. And, yeah, I don't know. It seems pretty cool. And only one National League team, and that was the 1906 Cubs, who won 116. So
Eric era.
It's harsh. they were the the Cubs weren't. I always mix this up. The White Sox, I think, were the hitless wonders that year that upset the Cubs in the World Series. I know they upset I don't remember which team was the hitless ones. I'm pretty sure it was the White Sox, but yeah. So the Dodgers, so you talked about like, you know, sort of picking it up, like, Freddie Freeman, like was like leading in batting average for I think a month and a half or something. As of Sunday, he was still leading. And then, but like Jeff McNeil was getting pretty hot for the Mets and he just kept, getting closer. And then Freeman, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday went 0-for-12. And then, so he sort of plummeted. So he comes into today on Wednesday. We're recording Wednesday night after all the games. Every game was a day game today. McNeil was out of the Mets lineup. And so if he didn't play, Freeman would have had to go 4-for-4. And then like, so naturally Freeman double homer first two at bats. But then he made an out. So it's like, okay, he's not going to get it at this point. But then you're thinking like, well, if it goes like, you know, he can go like 5-for-6 or whatever, or so it's pretty obvious he wasn't going to get it. But so like that kind of stuff. But it was funny just to see sort of the tying up of loose ends on a lot of this. Freeman did get another hit later. His third hit of the game drove in his 100th run of the season, which he's been staying as a goal. Trey Turner, who's, you know, you don't think of Trey Turner as like a run producer, although he hit second or third all year. So that was part of it, but he was sitting on 97 RBIs like 3 weeks ago, and he didn't drive in a run for 18 games, and like it was 80 plate appearances before Wednesday when he hit a 3-run home run conveniently to get him 100 on the dot. So Freeman, he ends up going 3-for-4. He hit 325. Jeff McNeil sat out, hit 326, so he wins the batting title. Freddie Freeman did win. He led the league in on-base percentage. He beat out Paul Goldschmidt and Juan Soto. Those were the only other two over 400. Freeman was 407. Freeman, like, just generally was – we talked about this. He was sort of our pick for MVP, just given he played more than Mookie Betts. Like, obviously, Mookie Betts is dynamic and did a lot of stuff, but – So Freeman ended up leading the league in hits, 199. He led the majors in hits. So that was another thing. He needed four hits to get to 200. So like that was a thing. So 199, he led the league in doubles, 47. That was also the majors. He and Mookie Betts tied for the league lead in runs. The Dodgers also led the league in had the league leader in singles, which was Trey Turner, one more than Freddie Freeman, and triples. Gavin Lux tied with Brandon Nimmo. Gavin Lux had 7 triples like 2 months ago. Got hurt for a while, hasn't hit a triple in a while, but still led the league. So another weird thing. So the Dodgers are the first team ever to lead their league in runs scored and fewest runs allowed for 5 straight years. This is an insane stat. Like, that shouldn't happen. Like, how does that happen? They led the league in doubles for the first time since 1955. They were plus 334. So on average, they outscored teams by more than 2 runs a game over an entire season, which is insanity. So 334 is tied for the 4th best run differential ever. And it is the best since integration. So, like, they're incredible, turns out.
Sort of one Twitter factor that was going around was playoff odds from FanGraphs, and they were actually ranked below the Mets. And it's interesting the kind of guess or piece together why that could be. You could argue it's sort of the road. At the time, I think the Mets might have been leading the division. So I wonder, actually, I should check. Maybe I will while you talk. But I think another thing that I had speculated, I didn't look directly into it, but was that Fangraphs doesn't really believe in the Dodgers' run suppression, which you could. This is what the Giants ran into all of last year as well, right? It's just they never convert. You know, Fangraphs can sometimes be slow to come around on certain players away from what the initial projections are. Someone like, say, Tyler Anderson. But at the same time, considering just how historic the team is, I was still kind of surprised it hadn't swung the other way.
So the weird thing. So the Dodgers, like, it's not like they're not striking people out. I forget. They're like in the top six or seven in the majors in strikeout rate. So kind of thing, but they're like incredible at limiting contact, like hard contact, you know? And so you limit hard contact, and then you have, like, I think a generally great, like, team defense. You could argue that they don't have the best individual defenders in some spots, like Mookie, Betts. Cody Bellinger's numbers are, like, up and down, but, like, still considered very good in center. But then, like, just their positioning is excellent, and they generally are the best at turning batted balls into outs, whether it's in a combination of, like, limiting contact, like Tyler Anderson, right? You wouldn't expect, like, it's one I can, you can understand where, like, okay, is he really a 2.57 ERA guy, you know, like that kind of thing? But the way he pitched, yeah, because, like, he had the lowest among, like, essentially starters. There's some relievers who are better than him, but he had the lowest average exit velocity, 85 miles an hour, and the lowest hard hit rate among pitchers in the majors. So, like, when people aren't hitting the ball hard off you, even if you're not, like, striking out a ton, that's a thing. Like, that is magical. And, like, it works, right? You obviously, strikeouts, home runs, all that kind of stuff are paramount in, like, closer games and, like, you know,
and easier to translate into stats that go into things like playoffs. Just to get up to date, checking it now, Astros lead with 17.1, and then the Braves and Dodgers are tied at 15.1.
So the part about the Dodgers too, you could argue, so, like, the Dodgers, I would argue, are like the best. They are the best team, right? Like, however, I think maybe where they get dinged a little bit is that they play either the Mets or the Padres, while the Braves play either the Phillies or Cardinals, which is, like, the
and I would imagine it's some amount of Fangraphs, just generally the underlying stats, like the Mets a little bit more. So when the Mets were leading the division, that's what pushed them above the Dodgers, and it wasn't by much; it was by a percentage point or two. So
I forgot to note too, the Dodgers. So they ended up giving up 513 runs. It was 3.17 per game. It's the lowest total in the majors since 1972. So, like, their run suppression is wild. Like, it's crazy. But, and then they're also, again, really good on offense. So, like, yeah, it was you don't expect, like, I still have a hard time, like, reconciling them winning so often. Like, 111 wins is hard to fathom. It obviously, it's built or like built up a little bit by the fact that their last two full seasons they won 106, so it's not like it's out of nowhere like the Giants last year or something, you know. So, like, they are legitimately excellent, I think, and they're having, like, their best year in that regard, you know. 2020 they were probably playing better, you know, in that stretch, but, like, it's one thing to do that over 60 games, but to, like, continue it over 162 makes it, like, more impressive, obviously. But, like, yeah, this is just an amazing run, like, they're on, and it's been fun to watch, and it'll, you know, they still have there's a lot left to watch, so, like,
hopefully speaking of maybe, you know, I love watching regular season Dodgers, so that's probably my most enjoyable baseball watching experience. And as noted before, I hate watching playoff games. I do, especially now that they won in 2020. I watched every game last year, and I probably will if I'm not busy with my travel plans this year. But you know what baseball I love watching is playoff baseball where the Dodgers are
involved. That's not. So, buddy, I have something for you. I have 3 days of baseball for you this weekend, my friend.
Intense, high stress, and not for me.
So you get the 2 straight days of 4 games because it's best of three. So they're guaranteed to go.
We're gonna get three straight days of four games. Calling it now. Yeah.
I believe, yeah, I didn't see Dave Roberts post game on Wednesday, but like, maybe he said this Tuesday because that's when it became official that the Padres would play the Mets. But he was, I think he basically said like he just wants that series to go full 3 games
and you know, no kind of Manfred runner, so they can go in the extra. These could be 3 20-inning games, Eric.
Oh man, 20 innings,
yeah. 60 innings of baseball coming up.
Whew. Yeah, so I think what we should do is pick the winners in the wild card because we are famously like dead on accurate on most of our predictions.
We recapped last week and we was just like, wow, another white one. Wow, that's incredible.
we're like, you know, at 97.8%.
You gotta fake it sometimes just to make the listener feel like they can compete.
That's right. So I think what we're going to do.
That's why I'm so bad at trivia, is I just feel, I don't want people to feel bad.
So I think we should pick, but I think we should do it like draft style where you get to pick one series and then I have to take the other one and then I pick the next series and you take the other one. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I am going to hope that we end with Mets and Padres just so we can, you know, segue that into looking at how the Dodgers kind of match up. But I'll take Cardinals and Phillies. And I think I'll be really interested in see if any of us take the not home team. I'll be really interested to see that.
So yeah, that's a quirk of the wild card we should mention. Every game is at the higher seed. So if it goes full 3 games, it's all in one park and it's at the higher
seed. So I will take the Cardinals. Although
so I think we should also say how many games and how many games.
The Cardinals will win game 2 and 3.
Whoa, that's specific. Okay, so you have Cardinals in 3 games. So I'm going to take. Wow. Okay, so Phillies are like the maximum chaos. Like, so it seems almost impossible that they would. And also, it's in St. Louis. You're going to get all the Albert Pujols stuff. Mm-hmm. That said, just to be weird, Phillies in 2.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. The winner of that series plays the Braves, by the way, which we mentioned. Okay, so I get to pick one, and we're going to leave the Mets Padres for last. So I will. I'll go with the. You know what? No. Yeah. Okay. So Guardians Rays. When the matchups came out, they were finalized on Tuesday, I believe. You knew the game times came out Wednesday. You knew as soon as you saw Guardians Rays that they were going to get the early game every day, because
baseball fever.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to take Cleveland feel good story. Youngest team in the league, I believe, playing pretty well. Tremendous pitching.
Youngest team in the majors or AAA.
Wow.
Was a often or quoted source. Joe Davis, blame him if it's not true.
Yeah. Look, that should be our tagline on this podcast.
Blame Joe Davis.
So I think I almost want to. You know what? I'm just going to pick the Rays because they're annoying. Like they're just good to spite people sometimes. So I'm going to take the Rays in 3.
I think Guardians are Guardians. Where did that come from? Guardians.
The Cardinals.
I think they're just a good team. They're gonna do it. I already predicted that every game series is going 3, even though I don't actually believe that. But I just want 4 games on Sunday. So the Guardians 3.
Yeah. You get to pick the team for Blue Jays marriage. Speaking of that, did you see the Cal Raleigh walk off to clinch the Mariners?
I did.
One of the most joyous baseball moments I can remember seeing. That was incredible.
this series is going to be fun, right? What two fun teams, really eager and excited, two very good teams.
Yeah. You got old friends galore on the Blue Jays.
I wondered if anyone would go against the higher seed.
I have the tie pick the lower
seed. No, I know. I was just saying that because I didn't think I would, but I will hear the Mariners in three.
So I was hoping you would take the Blue Jays because I wanted to be the guy rooting for the Mariners to get a home game and beat by winning. So yeah, I guess so. You say Mariners in three, so you're doing every three. So I'm gonna say, just to go full opposite on that, Blue Jays in two, crushing dreams. Congratulations on making the playoffs. You don't get a home game, and you don't even get a third road game. Get out of here. Okay, so
that leaves Mets and Padres.
So we should talk about this. So since we last recorded, so the Mets were in, like, not control, but they were in first place the most number of days, and even last year too. Like, and they didn't.
They went into the series this past weekend against the Braves, just needing to not be swept, and they were looking pretty good.
Yep.
And guess what? Yeah. In true Mets fashion.
So Sunday, so there's no games 163 anymore because of the tiebreakers and stuff. However, Sunday was like one of the better swing games in recent memory because it's so late in the season. The teams were tied atop the division entering Sunday, and the season series was 9-9. So it was a rare three magic number game. The Braves went into it with a magic number of four, but then because they won, it went down to one. Had the Mets won, they would have clinched the division on Tuesday, you know, just basically like the Braves did because of how it sort of played out. But like, yeah, what a tremendous swing. So the Braves swept. So the Mets are and so, you know, the Mets' biggest calling card is DeGrom and Scherzer up top, right? Like, and then the Braves just stuck it to both of them. Like, you know, they didn't pitch like that badly, but they lost. Like, so the Mets are better than the Padres. The Padres, specifically the three pitchers going in the series, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove. Snell, like, especially down the stretch, was really good. I think they can match them pitching wise. Now, both have trouble on offense, so that's going to be a problem. Obviously, the Mets have home field advantage. They have Edwin Diaz at the back end. The prudent play would be to pick the Mets,
yeah,
because that's the favorite, and like, probably should happen, but I think it would be fun to have a Dodgers Padres series again, just for the weirdness of it. So
you're rooting for exciting. I have gone on record as I want sweeps of 10-0 every single time the Dodgers play, and so I want the least consequential opponent. I don't want the Astros. I don't want the Padres.
Well, here's the deal about the Mets, right? So like, this is totally unfair, but a vocal probably tiny percentage of their fan base is freaking out because they lost to the Braves when, like, look, they got swept, right? So it's hard to like ignore that. That said, it's not like they collapsed. They played well, like, down the stretch, save for those three games in Atlanta, where they should have at least won one. But like, the Padres coming in and winning this series would cause a meltdown. And
that's true.
I for one, look forward to ignoring that meltdown. That's clearly going to dominate some timelines. So that with that said, Padres in two.
I'll stick with the plan, Mets in three. And just to clarify, I'm not saying I prefer the Mets I think they are easier, just from a stress level. Losses to Padres hurt more. So, speaking of which, I think the big dominating headline, if it were to be the Mets, would, like you said, DeGrom and Scherzer, it would go, if my math was right, either Bassett or Carrasco. Who would be the fourth?
So Bassett, they have. I don't think the. I don't remember if the Mets have actually laid out all three, but I'm pretty sure Bassett is pitching Game Three of the Wild Card Series.
So right? Should it go? Should it go three? Which it will. Yeah. You called it first. Right. But and then it would be. Is it Carrasco fourth? Who would if Taiwan it goes
Walker,
three?
Maybe.
Okay.
Is he still pitching? Honestly, haven't.
And then yeah. Mets starters. Let's see. Mets probable pitchers. That's not going to tell me anything. But whatever. It would be either Bassett or mystery fourth pitcher. ESPN has the depth chart.
But the point there is that DeGrom wouldn't be able to pitch till game two, and Scherzer wouldn't be able to pitch
till game three. And then
same,
it would
for
be
Darvish and Musgrove or Snell. So like,
And for them to appear twice, it would be only DeGrom on short rest. And game five would be if you were
right.
to see
which either A, I don't think that would happen, or B, the Dodgers would be at an advantage. I think or that's the best time
totally
to face
totally
right
because he would be going against. Think it would be it would be Anderson, right? No,
in what game?
Hold on, I'm doing math. No, it would be Urias again. Urias.
Yeah. So that's another sort of thing. Dodgers are playing coy with this for some weird reason.
Okay.
They haven't, named who's game one or game two. We know it's Urias and Kershaw in some order.
Here's the thing. I was thinking about this the other day, just on how they've pitched the playoffs. Not how I would pitch the playoffs the last couple of years, but how they've pitched it. I think you could give thought to doing Urias game two so he could pitch on short rest in game five. Again, I don't like it. I don't want to be seen as endorsing this. But
why would you do that?
Why would you have done a lot of the stuff they did?
Are you saying pitching on short rest in game five to start?
No. So
my thing on this is you have a great bullpen.
I know.
please don't. So that's what's angering me about this.
Yes, I hear you.
Don't just. okay, we're going to be explicit again. Just cut the shit, man. Stop fucking around
May agree with me. Do whatever weird stuff you need to do in game four. Fine. At that point, you are doing a glorified bullpen game probably.
Short leash with Tyler Anderson game three.
And if that means totally you need fine. To Dustin May or Tony Gonsolin piggyback, and then you need to do openers and whatever you think is best in game four, cool. You all but have the stats.
Let Urias and Kershaw start. Don't put an opener
them.
In front of Urias. And don't pitch them in relief. Do not pitch Kershaw in relief ever. Don't do it. Start them. Urias.
I am okay the bring the starter in to close out the World Series on short rest. Fine. There's literally nothing else you have to think about from there.
And you could argue, the NLCS, right? Similar thing. They're going to play seven games in eight days. There could be a situation towards the end of that where you're like, look, we only have a couple guys, right? Yeah. But
no, I am on the same page with you. Just it's what they've done the last few years. So I wouldn't if they go Kershaw game one. That's what I'm assuming the rationale is.
There's no question, right? Yeah. That would be why. But I would say this. So Dave Roberts has spent the better part of the last 2 months, every time he's asked about Julio Urias, talking about how Urias has been motivated by sort of the lack of respect. It was a joke that he didn't get named to the All-Star team. This is Robert's words, not mine. He should have got more Cy Young consideration last year. I mean, I don't really agree because there were clearly better pitchers on him on his own team, let alone a few others. But he was in a tough spot. I understand where you're somewhat disappointed that he was tied for seventh despite 20 wins and all that. I get it. He spent all this time and saying, and then he's clearly in Cy Young consideration this year. All this time saying Julio Urias doesn't get respect, then you're going to go and say, no, he's not our game one starter. You've been treating him like your game one starter forever. He's your game one starter. Just go with it and let him start.
Yeah.
So here's a stat that I was shocked at because I was looking up something and I don't remember what it was for. But Julio Urias, 22 postseason games in his career for the Dodgers. I know he's bounced around. Like, he had, you know, at different times in his career, he's pitched different roles. And obviously 2020 was unique in how he was used. And he, like, closed out the two biggest series they've had in the last decade. He has 4 starts in the postseason. I was shocked at how low that number was. Like, he's been there, like, a regular member of the rotation from, like, the beginning of the 2020 season to now. So 3 seasons, right? 3 and 2 postseasons. So he's had 10 games in the 2020 and 2021 postseasons, and 4 of those were starts, 6 of them were in relief. I was actually shocked by that. Like, I know he was, like, the 3rd starter in 2020. So with the wild card round, that was part of it. So, like, they used him in relief, I believe, in game 1. And so I sort of get it. But, like, man, and then, like, the opener thing last year, and then they used him in relief, which messed him up, like, in the NLCS. Like, just let him start, man. Like, that's all I want. Like, that's – I think they have an excellent deep bullpen. Like, just do it. That's what they should do.
I agree.
So speaking before – well, damn, this is a good transition. I'll say, speaking of the excellent bullpen, I have a trivia question for you. But before that, roster notes, like, so Chris Taylor's had a neck thing since Saturday. He didn't play the last 5 games. They're playing, like, I think, intra-squad games Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Dodger Stadium. You're basically getting all the Gonsolin, Anderson, Heaney group probably going the in-between in that those times, and then you're getting all the hitters that bats they need. Chris Taylor's going to go in there. Dustin May's going to be in there. Blake Trinan's going to be in there. So it sounds like, just reading the tea leaves, like, Trinan possible, right? Not Lockett by any means. Dustin May seems more probable now. It seems like he's been doing okay. Who knows? Gonsolin looked pretty good. Also rusty in his 1 game this week with the Dodgers, but he's going to probably start. I would imagine he'll start game 4. But maybe only go, like, 4 innings, right? So
I think since we last talked about the roster, because we did a little bit of preview on that before, Tommy Canley and Yency Almonte have looked good.
Yeah, no, great. Like, yeah. I would say, like, and they have, like, unique. So Canley is, like, the changeup guy, right? But it's not only the changeup guy. He throws, like, 97, and his changeup's, like, 90 or, you know, or whatever. So, like, it's a devastating pitch. And then, yeah, Almonte was pretty good, like, all year, really good all year. Yep. And then you're like, how's he going to do? Because he missed, like, 8 weeks or whatever, 2 months. And but he's looked great since he came back. So he had a, what, 102 ERA this year in 35 innings. So so what I was going to say is I think there was a brief for a couple days because Chris Taylor had a cortisone shot Monday. So they're like, you know, he might not be ready for the NLCS or NLDS, but – Dave Roberts, I think after Tuesday's game, maybe, but certainly on Wednesday, he said basically, even if Taylor's not ready for the start of the NLDS, he's going to be ready at some point. So, like, his roster spot's not in danger anymore, right? You weren't thinking there was a thought of, like, well, there's Miguel Vargas' shot, or mm-hmm. you know, or like Kevin Pillar is going to be around, like, this weekend. James Outman is coming up for, like, they're going to have some minor league pitchers too. In those, like, simulated games and inter-squad games and stuff. So the roster, I think it's pretty much like we've talked about for a while. Now, it really is just a matter of how they decide on the relievers, because we've talked about Craig Kimbrell.
So you don't think there's any chance Vargas makes it? You mentioned Chris Taylor, but I think Joey Gallo might be the other option you could look at there.
Well, so that's the only, like, certainty. Literally Tuesday night, after Gallo homered, Dave Roberts said, no, he's on the playoff
roster. Okay, like, did not see that. So there we go.
Yeah, no, breaking news. No, but it's one of those things, like, but, like, the way they've used him, it was pretty obvious, but, like,
sure,
it's weird they're being cagey with some stuff, and then he just kind of came out post-game and said that.
Like, so going back to relievers, so you have your 3 starters, Urias, Kershaw, and Anderson. I'm going to list off, and that leaves 10 pitchers. Yeah. I'm going to list off 9 names, and I want you to tell me if you think any of them aren't making it or have a chance of not making it, okay?
Uh-huh.
Heaney, May, Gonsolin, Phillips, Vesia, Canley, Gratterall, Almonte, Chris Martin.
May is the least likely to make it. Okay. But I think he's in.
Okay. So if we assume those nine names, that leaves Price, Ferguson, Trinan, and Kimbrell for the 10th role. Is that right? Am I forgetting anyone?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then to me, that's a, if Trinan, if he's healthy, and even if it's a risky, right? Because, you know, if he, they pitch him once and he's, because one of the things they're probably concerned about is his ability to recover. But at that point, you could IL him. And obviously he's out at that point for the NLCS. But, and then I go Trinan if he's healthy, and I think David Price.
Wait, but where are you listed nine names.
I listed nine names plus 30. So that's 12. And they get 13, right?
Yeah.
So we have one name. I'm saying Trinan if healthy, and if not, Price.
Oh, gotcha. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of that. Like, so I think.
And I think Trinan's probably not healthy. that's been going.
I think he's probably like. Long shot's probably a strong word, but I think he's less likely to make it for the NLDS. That's my guess. I do think they would take one of Ferguson or Price to have a second lefty, like an actual reliever, as opposed to Heaney, who's like the sort of the piggyback long guy. And I guess it really depends how May looks, because he's the one of the big wild cards, right? Like, you could be fine with not having a second lefty, like if you have other options and all this, and then it comes down to because Kimbrell has looked pretty bad for a while, and then, you know, he's been pitching in like low leverage stuff, but like he pitched in two games in the last 3 days and he struck out five or six batters. So he's back. And so like, who knows? But like, I think that kind of stuff that'll be interesting to see how they sort of maneuver that. And like, but the other day, I think Roberts was saying Dustin May is not a lock to make it, even if he's healthy. So like,
okay.
But that's who knows? Like, maybe he looks great this weekend. So like, but yeah, it is. It was not shocking. It was just weird that they said it out loud about Gallo. Like, he's like, no, he's on the roster. He's like, what? All right, that's funny. So back to the pitching for a second. One of the names you mentioned is an answer to this. Which Dodger pitched in the most games in 2022?
Oh, okay. I will take a guess after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, batter, are you ready to hit a home run with flavor? Step up to the plate and swing by Penn Station East Coast Subs, where every bite is a grand slam. Craving a classic Philly cheesesteak or maybe a savory chicken teriyaki? Or how about loading up on their delicious fresh-cut fries? Call it a triple play by ordering Penn Station's signature fresh-squeezed lemonade. When it comes to subs, Penn Station is the big league. Order online at penn-station.com or stop at a store near you. Penn Station East Coast Subs.
Which pitcher pitched in the most games in 2022? You gave me a little hint there that it was someone I mentioned, because I actually
mentioned a bunch of pitchers.
So. I didn't mention Phil Bickford.
I will tell you, he's fourth.
Phil Bickford's fourth.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. I am going to guess Evan Phillips.
With 64 games, Evan Phillips, who had has the lowest ERA in Dodgers history, minimum 40 innings.
Wow.
1.114. whereas in I believe 63 innings. Whereas Yency Almonte in his 35 innings was 102. Didn't qualify. But if you go minimum, the reason I went minimum 40 is because previous Dodgers rewind, Hank Aguirre, in 1969 was 0.69. Nice. But he was in 39 innings. So like,
oh, wow. You know,
but like, Phillips was like full season reliever, right? Like, you know, like Almonte missed 2 months. It's understandable to sort of limit it there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the other, there's two with 63. One is Craig Kimbrell, and the other is Alex Vesia, who was warming up in the ninth, about to tie Evan Phillips, but Caleb Ferguson got out of it and closed out the game. And let's see. So we got outside of the starter. So just go relief appearances. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I can't count. 4, 7, 10, 11. So in a man, that's more than I thought. Okay, in 14th place. Answer Alberto.
Yeah. Pretty good. How many appearances?
10.
Pretty good.
His season interview is going to be a fun one. So yeah, that's today's trivia.
All right. Hey, it's time for
With Jeans and Greg. We love them.
We love it. I got to do it this time. I get, you know, if the Dodgers win on Tuesday, I get to hear that song in Dodger Stadium for the first time in
a while,
2019, I guess.
Okay, I
think I went in 2019. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that vaguely sounds right to me. I don't know if they won, though. I'll have to check my scorebook if I remember it. Sometimes I forget it.
They split. Pretty sure they split the first two at home. I don't remember which game they won. Oh, they won game one, I believe.
Oh, I don't know when I went. It might have been some.
April I thought game. It was playoffs. Sorry. Yeah,
might have been.
Oh, was it? You went to the Ryu game, the home run game.
That's right. That was the last game I went to. And they won, right?
That's the last time it happened. Reading the transcript from the.
All right. Here we go. Some trivia for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sure to do better than last week when it was just got ran through the ringer.
Major League Baseball brought back the best of 2 out of 3 wild card series in 2022. And to celebrate, this week's trivia will be about the leaders in this round of the playoffs. There is one player who has hit 4 home runs in wild card games and 3 who have hit 3. Eric, can you name these sluggers? Hint,
okay, so
they're all active players.
And this isn't... this can't be Dodgers because they've only played in one, right? This is all of MLB.
This is all of MLB.
Okay, so
Chris Taylor is the answer to all 4.
No, Justin Turner also homered last year.
Okay.
So, wild card game started in 2012. So you have, I guess. Oh, and then they had the wild card series in 2020. Oh, the wild card series. Yeah. God. Let's go George Springer.
No.
He seems to hit 1,000 home runs. Okay. So then you had the Rockies in 2 straight. The Pirates in, were they in 3 straight wild card games? Andrew McCutchen?
Nope.
So the 2020 part is really messing with me. Because I don't remember anything about... There was literally eight series. All are active. Fernando Tatis.
Strike 2.
Manny Machado.
Strike 3. You want hints? Right. You want hints at all?
No.
All right.
No.
Your 4 hitter is Giancarlo Stanton.
Sure.
Paul Goldschmidt hit 3.
Okay.
Yasmani Grandal hit 3. And Aaron Judge has hit 3.
I forgot. So, Grandal was with the Brewers against the Nationals in 2019, and I believe he homered in that game. And then he probably did something with the White Sox in 2020. So, yeah.
No player has recorded a double-digit hit total in wild card games yet. Can Eric name the leader with 9 hits and the one player with 8 hits and 2 with 7?
No. Paul Goldschmidt.
No. He's on the list. He only had six.
Yeah, I'm not going to do any well in any of these. The 2020 Wild Card Series was like, I don't know it.
Well, we're gonna. You want hints? Do you want me to just tell you?
Yeah, I want hints. Fine.
You have a White Sox. You have player who I have to look. A player who did it for the Cardinals and the Padres. Double checking real quick for the Rays and the. Gosh, why did they? Yeah, the Rays and the Padres.
Okay, so I'm going to say on the hits, I'm going to go with Jose Abreu.
No, different White Sox.
Tommy Pham
is correct. Well, Tommy Pham is the other one, not the White Sox, but yeah. Yes. it's another star White Sox. It's not. You don't have to go too deep.
Okay. And why am I like forgetting who their player? Maybe because they were irrelevant this year and were bad. The NBC SN Chicago deleted the tweet like a month and a half ago, but like early in, I think it was in March, maybe it was in April, like right when the season started. It was the Fresh Prince in an empty living room, and is anyone in the division going to show up? And then, and of course, the Guardians had a lot of fun with that once they clinched the division. Which is me stalling. Yeah. So
one of your WBC shortstops for the US of A,
Tim Anderson.
There you go.
Yeah, I was about to get to him, but I was.
I'm going to tell you the other two.
Yeah,
Dexter Fowler and Jerkson Profar.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that's going to be.
my brain is going. Why is Craig asking these obscure questions? And I remember for a Dodgers Rewind that we're going to have later next week.
Then I'm like, you're going to love the next question. Yeah. Only three players have been hit by two or more pitches. Can Eric name these players who took one in the wildest round in the playoffs? Hints: the leader was part of a trade deadline deal between two 2022 wildcard teams. There we go. Got it out. Another one will be playing in the wildcard round as a visitor to the Big Apple.
Juan Soto.
Nope.
Josh Bell.
Nope.
Will Myers.
Strike three. You have Harrison Bader.
No one cares.
Wilson Contreras.
Yep.
And Jake Cronenworth.
Sure. Okay.
Five pitchers have recorded 13 or more strikeouts. Surely you can do this. In wild card game appearances, can Eric name these hurlers? Note, one did it in just one game.
Okay. So I was trying to think about this. The one... like major pitching performance I can remember is Madison Bumgarner, but I don't remember how many strikeouts he had.
He's a name on this list. He did it over two games with 16 strikeouts.
Okay. I know he had like a shutout or something in there. So, and then one person had a 13 strikeout game. Holy crap.
Very good pitcher did that. I'll let you know.
Thanks. oh my God. Okay. And then wait. Can I ask for this pitcher? Was it in 2020 or was it an actual?
It was in 2020.
Oh, Clayton Kershaw.
There you go. It's like, ooh, I gotta rub this one in. You miss it. Well, that's the show.
Yeah.
So you've got three names left. You wanna take a step?
Oh, I thought we were done. Okay. No, I'm done. I don't want to do anymore. I'm done.
All right, Garrett Cole, John Lester, and Yu Darvish.
John Lester, one of the great wild card games that year. A's Royals.
All righty. That's all I have. You're off the hook. You did terrible.
Yep.
But you usually are.
I would not advance to the division.
And I got my trivia question right today. Now, granted, it was way easier, but
yep. You nailed it.
Yeah. All right. Since you two may have already picked the winners, that's true. My first postseason contest challenge is this one, and Jacob can go first. Thanks. Name the total number of runs scored for all of these games. Oh my gosh. Closest to the total wins. It's not the Price is Right rules.
Okay, so minimum 8 games, maximum 12.
Well, we've already talked about it. It's going to be 12.
Sure. Well, if I go by my prediction, it's going to be 9.
Yeah. I'm literally breaking out a calculator.
Sure. I have a guess.
50 runs.
Wait, 50?
Yeah.
There's two teams playing in these games.
Oh, well, yeah, four average. Okay, no. What's the average, total run scored in a game in baseball these days? What is it? Is it like 6?
Four and a half.
Per
team.
So. Oh, okay.
Hold on. I'll give you the 2020.
Thank you.
Number. No,
and it's the playoff. I a lot of good pitching going in these.
Yeah. Wins in playoffs. I get 4.28 runs per game this year in the regular season per team. Game.
Yeah. Two times. So if it was an A, it would be 6A.
I already have my number, and I'm not changing it. Unless you guess.
All right, 95.
Okay, my number was going to be 91, so that's okay. My number.
That makes sense because I have more games than you. So, and I also think it's going to pitching. I don't know, man. I don't know. I do think I was taking the 4 number and thinking of one team.
He's so mad when there's like so many 2-1.
It's a bunch of 50, pitching shit.
It's 50 on the dot.
Well, what an idiot. Why did you say that high? Jeez. All right. Despite the final few games of the season, the biggest takeaway I have about the 2022 regular season Dodgers was their consistency. They just kept on winning series in the second half, even if it became clear they had no challengers. Can you two pick one word each to describe this year's Dodger team best for you? It's password. You and I get to play password.
This isn't my real word, but the first one that came to mind was scrumtralescent.
I'm forced to make one. I was going to do a different thing. I'll look it up. Hold on.
Relentless. That's my one word.
Man, I don't know if I would have picked consistent, but that has right there with me, Craig, on what I've just like. It's how day in and day out, which is not a word unless I add a lot of hyphens. Why did Craig steal my word? I'm really upset with this.
We can edit this. Just
Craig's word is pumpkin. That's a strange word, Craig. I think consistent, but
do you think the Dodgers will turn into a pumpkin?
No, I didn't say that. That's what Craig said, not me.
That's right.
Come on now. I'm gonna think about this so it's not a bunch of dead air, but I'll come back with a good one. Just you wait while I also look up the Odd Couple password episode. All right. Do either of you have a carnival or arcade game that was your go-to when you wanted to win a prize? Like skee ball or pop a shot, or maybe shooting the water gun at the carnival?
Couldn't really ever shoot. Was not a good, I could not throw to a target. I was terrible at ring toss. But it's not like I ever went. I didn't go to a lot of carnivals, so or fairs. So I think this is by age because Papa Shot is the go-to, mostly because there was a single Papa Shot at the Shakey's Pizza in Palm Springs that we would go to in the first couple years of high school. This was like pre-driving, so like freshman sophomore year, when we were. Like, just basically had to do everything within walking distance of stuff. My friend Steve was so good at Papa Shot that they had a thing. If you get a certain number of points, you could win like a personal pizza, like the little plate size ones that are, maybe like at the time, maybe $2 or something, but then if you got progressively higher scores, you can get higher pizza. He would regularly win medium pizzas. Like he was dominant at Papa Shot, but that's a go-to, but younger. I still like playing it to this day at either like Dave and Buster's now, I guess, or like old school Chuck E. Cheese or something, skee ball was fun, was always fun. And I really enjoyed that and getting all those damn tickets. So,
I have an answer for this. Yeah. We'll do this first. Then I'll go back to my word. Yeah. So I'm trying to think now, man, I'm doing so many Google searches in this episode. It's the game. I grew up in Santa Clarita. So Magic Mountain right there. So, you know, when I was 14, 15, that was essentially daycare. They just dropped me off and with a season pass and say, go have fun. And so the one I was most consistently good at, although I lost it at near the end, I couldn't repeat my previous success, is a game where you have a bunch of like bars that kind of look like checks, like a check mark. And there's an iron ball there, and you have to turn the wheel just in such a way to where it would only fall just a little bit, then you would curve it back up. I'm looking this up.
So they're like triangles, right? Like
they look like a checkbox, I think. Like it's a like a right angle, but then when the bar's up, it's in such a way that the ball can stay, and they get progressively longer. So if you go tilt it to the right, it'd fall off. But if you don't immediately turn it back up, it just falls all the way down.
Basically, all those are scams, in my opinion.
They are, but this was the one I had the most success with. Carnival game ball. Man, how do you do that? Google this.
Carnival game blinds
fall. Let's see. See if anyone any Google.
Wasn't images. That an Adele song?
I'm getting a bunch of skee ball. It's not skee ball. Get this skee ball away from me. So while I look this, man, this is all, look at any tabs I have open in this episode. What you and I, we've discussed crossword fans. I need a single word that meet, like, the other thing that it's sort of like consistent, but not game in, gay out. It was the lineup, just like there were no holes in the lineup. And I'm trying to think if there's a good word for that.
Well, here's the deal with that. There were, like, you know, like that. But I think, but they had enough to overcome it. Like that was the thing. Like, and Bellinger was bad. Yeah. Muncy was bad. Turner was bad until, like, Justin Turner was, like, not good until June. I don't know. But, like, no, I think, in a way, you're right. Like, it seems,
but even
like
even those, and like they still, it didn't feel like an auto out. They felt like, I don't know. It was a way I hadn't felt about a Dodger team in a while. And maybe some of that is produced by the fact that Lux was in the nine hole so often and he was so good. That's kind of creating an illusion of that. But
they on most nights they had six like excellent hitters, right? Like 120 plus, like WRC plus, OPS plus, whatever. Most nights, and some nights seven, you know. And when Muncy and Justin Turner got hot again, it was like eight sometimes. So like, yeah, they were really, really good. Yeah, I don't know. But do you have a word?
I was hoping you would help me come up with a word for that.
Oh, like, is it? It's not a descriptive word, but just length. Is that where you're going?
There's my word, length. What a long Dodgers team.
Yeah, yeah. Was this off air? I don't remember his name because I don't remember if you said it, but you mentioned someone being your longest friend, and like that was an interesting way to put it. So like, this is your longest Dodgers.
There you go.
So there it is.
One of Denver's iconic menu items is the Franklin at the Denver Biscuit Company. It is a biscuit sandwich with fried chicken, bacon, cheddar, and sausage or mushroom gravy, plus an additional fried egg. We call it the Good Morning Burger. Now, that being said, a biscuit is not my preferred bread vehicle for breakfast sandwiches because they crumble. My question to you both, biscuit sandwiches, yes or no? If you had a fried chicken sandwich, do you prefer fewer ingredients or more, the merrier? Biscuit sandwiches, huge thumbs up.
My God, yes. Yeah. So the thing that I think the almost, not that I want it to like crumble in my, at the touch, but the fact that it does crumble and fall apart is one of its greatest achievements. Like if you have a hot flaky biscuit like that, that is just perfect. Like, that's great. Like, that is one of heaven's greatest gifts to the world. Yeah, my you know, for a quick, so my quick go-to at McDonald's is, well, see, the thing is, like, I don't always, if I want to do like a quick breakfast thing there, I don't always get eggs, but if I do get an egg thing, I get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit because I want the biscuit. But like sometimes though, and then, but if I don't get egg, I just get a sausage biscuit. I've never actually gotten a bacon biscuit with no egg. They don't like advertise, but I'm sure you can get it. But like,
sure.
But yeah, just a plain sausage biscuit. And if you get the biscuit, at a perfect spot, like that's heaven. Like that's great.
My go-to is just a plain old sausage biscuit. I love it. I am not a big McDonald's fan at all, with like, the exception being a large Diet Coke and a sausage biscuit. So good. The McDonald's soda machine is rigged to be extra good.
For sure. they've unlocked the secret to carbonation. Like they've cracked the code. In terms of fried chicken sandwich, you could actually go, like, this is making me think, like, if you had a like a large enough biscuit, you could imagine a great chicken sandwich with a biscuit bread. Like that would be amazing.
And and I don't know if maybe Craig was expecting me to answer this, but I will say, at a Portland restaurant, Screen Door, which I love, and Craig's gone to a couple of times. It is now, I think, just biscuits and gravy and chicken is the dish, but it used to be advertised as a fried chicken biscuit sandwich, but the chicken was ginormous. You would never actually try to eat this thing as a sandwich. You were fork and knifing it, but it is out of this world good. And I need to go to Portland soon.
Yeah, biscuits and gravy is another great thing. But in terms of, so for chicken sandwiches though, like I think I'm pretty plain. I don't mind some pickle on there, like if you're doing that. But generally, I don't put much on there. You know, like I just, if the chicken is good, just put that on bread. Like that's kind of where I'm at with that. What do you think?
You know what I think is that I have a sausage biscuit upstairs that I can microwave and have. So often when this happens, I get hungry. I don't have access to the thing that I'm now craving, and this is not the case. I'm excited,
man.
I'm not excited about. I still don't know the name of this game.
Oh, so I was on
it. It was a little box, and you know, it was the best.
Is it called? Oh no, that's the ring. Okay.
You got me excited that you found it.
No, there's one that says on the edge, but I don't think that's it. One is just plain ring toss.
On the edge. I'm going to look that up. That actually sounds.
Now it has, if you see the picture I'm looking at, it has the most carnival-y old timey, look to it possible.
Well, that's not it. I know that kind of a game. That's not it.
In looking this up. Oh man, this isn't okay. So, I'm trying to save this picture. I'm going to send it to you. There's some, you know, it reminds you of Vegas Vacation, bad movie, but eminently watchable movie. There's one where they go to like the offshoot casinos in Vegas, and then the games there are just ridiculous. And one of them just pick a number. but like this one, I'm just sending you something, and it's another, like, it looks like an old-timey carnival game, and it just says catch a ball, which is the most perfect carnival game possible. I don't know about you, but so I think I'm going to go play some ring toss, look for skee ball. I doubt anything. We're recording this on Wednesday night. I don't think any skee ball place is open. Any reputable skee ball place is open right now. So I'm going to have that and a chicken sandwich, and maybe, depending on how the night goes, have a sausage biscuit on the way home.
So, there you go.
I think that's good. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed the season. We will be back at a schedule to be determined for playoff stuff.
Sometime before the game on Tuesday.
Yeah, for sure. But enjoy the off days. Enjoy the stress-free wild card round of watching baseball. And we will talk to you again next week.